Welcome back to Rebrew. This is the Fridayest of Fridays ever. I'm Melvin. This is KJ. We're here with Ashley. And today we're at Peepaw's Garage. It's a vibe, and I'm totally excited to even talk about this brewery.
Can't stop smiling.
Yeah, I literally can't stop smiling. So anybody who knows me knows I'm absolutely obsessed with vehicles in general. And just the fact that it's been intertwined with a brewery and beer. And then the kicker was we walked through a door and then there was hatchet throwing and actual cars in a garage, like being worked on. Just cloud nine. So couldn't say enough amazing things about this place. I'm going to put as many pictures and videos and talk about it as much as possible. And I will be back. I will be probably bringing car groups here at some point to do stuff.
We're bringing a group of realtors.
Realtors and your cars too. You know, we'll figure it out.
You can bring your car.
Realtor car show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, show and tell. Show and tell. But no, it's actually phenomenal. It's a really cool spot. So I'll turn it over to KJ. She's going to introduce Ashley and kind of talk about a little bit about the brewery, what it's about, how it got started, some basics there, give you an idea of what they have to offer. If you have never heard of it, you should take a trip to Clearwater because this is worth the drive. I'm telling you right now.
Yes.
Go ahead. Take it away.
I'll take it away. I'll take it from you. I'm KJ with Red Door Title, and Melvin is with Fairway Independent Mortgage, and we are here with Ashley. She's the daughter of The Peepaw, who's back there.
The Peepaw.
And she's going to talk a little bit about how they got started, how long they've been in business, kind of the things that they offer here. And she's only like a smidge nervous. So
a little bit.
But we're going to lead her from there, and we'll just say, like, so basically tell us how we got started with Peepaw and where the idea came from, and we'll kind of take it from there.
We'll start with the name Peepaw. As he goes by, there he is. So I got a dog like 7 years ago, and he was not a grandpa yet to actual children. So I was like, oh, we need a funny name for them as grandparents.
For the grand
dog. I was like, how about Peepaw and Meemaw?
Oh.
So Peepaw kind of stuck, and then my brother has two kids now, a two-year-old and a nine-month-old, and
oh my goodness.
Now he's actually Peepaw.
He's legitimately Peepaw.
He is.
The Peepaw.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. So then, what was he... I was talking with him earlier, and he said he was like a collision mechanic.
Yeah, this was a collision shop for, I think, 40 years or so. So before I was born, he was been in the auto industry since he was in his 20s.
Wow.
And he bought... Well, he's been in this place for 40 years. This was his building, original shop, and he had a collision shop up until, like, 2 years ago, and then... Randomly, he's like, I'm going to start a brewery. We're going to build a brewery.
He's like, hey, kids.
I'm like, okay, where at? He's like, well, we're taking the whole collision shop and we're going to turn it into something really cool.
What a crazy
He was
boy,
not
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah.
No.
And then my brother, he's our brewer, but they did the little at-home brew kit, little gallon beer up at their cabin in Blue Ridge, Georgia. And they're like, oh, this is really good. We love it. And they just started... like messing around with beer and different ingredients and stuff like that. And then my brother went to the USF brewing program.
Oh.
So he did that. Cool. And now he's our brewmaster. He's been doing it for probably 9 months or so.
Wow.
By himself.
By himself.
He does his little science experiments back there. And he'll be making me try a beer. Here you go, try
that.
This, see how you like that.
Yeah.
It's good. He's doing a really good job. He's killing it.
Like truly a family vibe.
Yeah.
Like. Literally, the kids and the dad.
Literally.
And we love supporting local businesses, especially family owned and run businesses. So this just kind of feeds right into all the things that we love to do. And then there's a couple of, behind that door that we walked through that made all of our jaws drop. Tell us what's going on back there.
So we just opened our hatchet barn. It's our axe throwing, and
we
love it.
When
it's
you say
so
axe throwing,
fun.
You have to like do this. I don't know why.
It's more
but...
like
oh, true.
Over your head or like
yeah, I don't know
do
what
like
you're,
a
doing.
One-handed
you're like,
thing.
You're doing.
Oh, I do it one-handed.
Seminoles?
I'll show you later. I have a posture and everything. Like, and I'm just like, you'll be surprised in heels.
Yeah,
I'll show you.
Oh, yeah, you should show me, because we can get some cool little clips, too, of that.
Do it.
I can't use words today. Update that paper.
So we have the hatchet axe throwing back there, but that's just, like, part There's more things.
And then the whole rest of the place is our outside beer impound. It used to be where we'd put totaled cars out there. The impound, so now it's a beer impound. It's turfed and everything. We have picnic tables back there. You can have events.
Picnic tables.
Yep. You can book your events back there. We got baby showers going on, wedding receptions, dinners, parties, all just, sorts of stuff.
Just everything I need.
We're about to have a realtor car show, so, you know, back there. Yeah, definitely going to be a thing.
It is. Definitely be a thing.
That's awesome. So do you guys have any like happy hours or special nights where you have, I think you said something about open mic tonight.
Yep. We have open mic every first and third Friday of the month. And then the in-between Fridays, we have live music. We have live music every Saturday. We have cornhole tournaments every Wednesday at 6:30. And every Thursday's trivia. Trivia is amazing here. We had 130 plus people play trivia last night with us. And
130 people playing trivia? Yeah.
It was packed. We had people standing. A lot of fun.
Well, heck.
Now, I will say something that Ashley and I were talking about earlier that I thought was a really cool fun fact is, you know, we all like to people watch, right? But here it's cool because what she was explaining to me was the atmosphere in here that they've built is that of, like, let's network and talk. She was telling me that not often do you see people show up and just get on their phones and stay there on their phones all night. They're literally just hanging out and talking with people they don't know at the bar. You know, having conversations, which I think is a lost art in this day and age. So I thought it was really cool to hear that this is that kind of environment where people are comfortable enough to be able to just put their phone down and enjoy their time with people, whether they know them or not. You know, and I think the picnic tables probably have a lot to do with that as well. It's a nice little like community table to sit at and meet people and just, you know, network, which I think is a huge reason why we started this whole brewery thing was to get people into different environments where they can network a little bit better, you know, and get to know and meet people that they don't know otherwise. And that's why we love breweries because they're so big into that. They're so big into helping others and promoting other breweries and other, you know, brews that maybe they don't even do. They'll have like guest taps and things. So I just love that whole vibe. You know, and that's kind of how this whole thing stemmed. I mean, we're kind of like our own collaborators, you know. She's a whole different industry than I am, but we are always collaborating together for the, you know,
the greater good.
I was just gonna say that.
I knew.
I was like, that sounds so cliche.
I knew.
For the greater good. We're talking superhero. I can't do that yet with editing. I would put a Superman thing here if I could, but not there yet. One day soon.
Julia. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what we're drinking. And I actually did get a gluten-free option today, so I'm excited. And I'm gonna let you kind of explain what these are.
So you got a wine slushy. A peach Bellini wine slushy.
Well, I'll let it sit for a little bit. So now it's just like
wine slushy.
A peach.
So peach wine.
Basically. It's really good though.
Alcohol, so.
We have our most popular beer. It's our Lazy River. It's our Golden Ale. I wish I could explain more beer stuff, but that's my brother's job.
Nope, you're good.
It's called Lazy River.
Ooh, our Golden Ale.
All you need to know is it tastes really good.
And then he also has the mango version as well. It's our Motor Mountain Mango.
Motor.
So we try to keep our names with the garage theme, rustic country thing going on.
Yes.
I like
very smart.
That.
Well,
I need
cool.
A catalyst beer. Like the catalytic converter.
Ooh, whoa! Write
that'll
that down.
Be our next sour.
Write it down.
Yeah, the catalytic converter. It has to be like a blend of different flavors, you know?
Yes. Unexpected flavors.
But and like you could do like a little slogan like, oh, it's so good you'll want to steal it, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Write that down.
I don't know.
He'll text you. Be like, that thing I said that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I come up, I don't even remember half of what I say, so luckily this is recorded. Luckily. Then I watch it back, I'm like, wow, I said that.
That's great. About
them. Did that.
So we have a pretty big variety. We have 24 taps. So we got our golden ales, we have our pale ale, our most popular right now. Besides the Lazy River, it's going to be our Kolsch. It's a super light beer if you like Bud Light, Miller Light, stuff like that.
So it's a beer-flavored beer?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Beer-flavored beer.
And then we have our Red Ale, our Old Red Barn. We have a really good porter, my dad's favorite, porters.
Oh.
So we called that the Problem Solver, which is because he fell off a ladder in Georgia, and he's like, I really need a porter to solve my problems.
Obviously.
As they were brewing a porter here at the same time, I'm like, that's your porter's name, the Problem Solver.
I was like, oh, Peepaw's Porter?
I love when a beer has this backstory.
Oh.
So he was like, I just need a porter after that. I'm like, all right.
Oh, obviously so he was fine off the ladder.
Yeah, he's good.
Geez.
Good to go. He loves his porter.
Well, good for him.
And then we also have some ciders. They're from a couple different breweries, but we are in the process of brewing our own. And then we have a plain seltzer that you can pick from different flavors we have available back there. We got watermelon, strawberry, and black cherry.
Perfect.
And then we have some different IPAs. We got our Jack Wagon and our Farmall, so we kind of have something for everybody. We have wine, we have red wine, white wine.
Heck yeah.
They have a red, it's a berry.
And blackberry sangria slushy.
Blackberry sangria slushy, which I may have to try that after this one just because I want both.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys have a lot going on. You said earlier, basically something for everybody.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is
even
perfect.
If you don't like beer, you'll find something.
Or can't have it.
We have other options too. So you can enjoy yourself while you're here.
Man, that's a market that I don't think many people have tapped into just yet. I know Omission does a good job with their beer. I mean, they're big mainstream, but they're one of the few like gluten-free breweries. Like they brew real beer that's gluten-free. It's called Omission. Yeah. So yeah, if you look at their stuff, that's what they're into, and it's crazy. And like another thing, just in the brew world, I know you don't do the beer stuff, you know, but I know your brother probably can tap into this too. Is that was good. I didn't see it. I said that.
I didn't even know.
I didn't even know. what was I gonna say? Now you got me all to
tap into it. Yeah.
Non-alcoholic beer is actually very, very big lately.
I've heard
And the reason, and I didn't really dive into this, right? But we have someone near and dear to us and our family who, you know, had struggled with, you know, alcohol abuse and things like that, but still loves beer, right? But it can't really dive back into that because of the past. And, you know, it's like, God, probably 10, 15 years sober, something crazy, right?
Right.
But he goes for the non-alcoholic beers now because it still satisfies the beer craving.
Mm, yeah.
You know, but it's still...
like that beer flavor.
Yeah.
You don't want the alcohol.
And there's very few really good ones. Like, you know, there is like the Sam Adams does like the hazy IPA that's non-alcoholic.
Oh.
But man, gluten-free and non-alcoholic beer, I feel like there's a whole industry there no one's really tapped into fully. Yeah.
Fully.
You know, at least locally, on a big scale, yeah, sure, people have billions of dollars, but...
Sam Adams, Odul.
Yeah, right.
We'll have to talk to my brother.
Listen.
Yeah. Hey,
you
twin.
Might have a whole different, you might have a whole different industry coming up here.
Yeah.
But no, it's a really cool spot. You know, what I kind of want to focus on is just, like she said, there's something for everybody here. You know, whether it's frozen drinks or wine or beer, it's all here. Ooh, you know,
you're on a roll with your hard word day.
It's the Celsius. you know, even outside of that, if you're just into vehicles, I mean, they got that. If you're just here for axe throwing, you want a good drink, there's that. You know, if you want to hang out outside, there's that.
What'd you say? It was 35 a person?
Yes.
At the moment, 35 a person for the axe
hour, hour and a half.
For about an hour, hour and a half. Okay, perfect.
Which is...
Yeah, it's one hell of a spot. I will, you know, obviously in the show notes, I'll link everything about the brewery. I will link all the information that I possibly can, photos, videos, anything I could possibly get out about this place because I think more people need to know that it exists. Mm-hmm.
And they can follow you on Instagram.
Yep.
You know, and I'll give you like... Facebook. Yeah, Instagram, Facebook. I do. Yep, I'll leave all the links.
We'll mention them all.
You know, and again, if you're a car head, I mean, you will come in here and probably geek out like I did. There's mufflers hanging from the ceiling. There's motorcycles in the rafters.
The taps are wrenches.
There's Flowmasters. Yep. That's what's basically pumping the beer into the taps. Or two giant Flowmaster exhaust systems.
Like they're about to
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's like everything that I would ever want in a building. Plus beer and axe throwing. Like, what else do you want?
And nice people.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So.
Well, thank you, Ashley, for explaining all of this. And we will get into some meaty content and then link everything for you guys below. But it was awesome.
Appreciate
you.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Would you like to leave this chair between us or?
I can leave the chair between us. It's fine.
Fine.
It's fine.
Okay.
Cool beans. So today's topic, I'm holding it. It's kind of fun to hold this, actually. That sounded bad.
You want to just
hold it? Oh, my God.
It.
Just hold it. Maybe I clip it to my hat.
Like it.
first time for everything. this episode is going to be a fun one. So this is going to be pet peeves at Peepaws. Mm-hmm. That's what we've named this. That was Carrie's going. She came up with that one. So
he's rubbing off on me with his
right
words.
With my words, I'm rubbing my words off. it's like a scratch off. I'm a living, breathing scratch off. Watch out now. Just never win. You never win. You might get a dollar. But it's going to be fun. So my disclaimer at the beginning of this is, I'm not pinpointing. If this sounds like you,
It's not.
It's not you. So that's going to be my disclosure, disclaimer, print at the bottom. This is you know, thoughts and opinions over the course of my career, over the course of the last several years, from different aspects, not just from the real estate industry. So I don't want anybody to listen to this and be like, oh, that's me, I did that. Not necessarily. You know, this is very general, broad, and I'm not here to attack or come for anyone specifically. And again, it's going to be very opinionated, you know,
point.
So you may feel like you don't align or agree with that, and that is perfectly fine. I actually challenge those that have questions or that don't agree with something or maybe have another perspective of something that we talk about. Let's engage. Throw some comments down. Send us some DMs. Like, let's talk about it. Because, again, perspectives to me can shift. The more you know, the more your perspective can change. You know what I mean? So maybe I am looking at it with a different lens, through a different filter than maybe you are. Maybe you're closer to this topic or this subject and you see it differently. I am here to learn and to listen. We're going to outline some things that we've seen, that we've talked about, that we've heard, that just kind of drive us up a wall, you know? And some of it we're probably even guilty of ourselves.
Oh,
so we're
yeah.
not like,
oh, yeah.
we're not just like, we're perfect. No,
we're
far.
Like, oh, I hate it when I do that.
Yeah, listen, I still hate that I bite my nails. It looks like these things have been through the blender, you know?
Yeah.
This is like
we're not
how I imagine.
Those nails.
Yeah,
those are,
these are a situation.
Those are garage nails.
They
but
are garage.
It's
but
in
look,
a good place.
We're in a garage. We're good.
But they're very clean.
My nails are accepted here. Well, yeah, because I eat them every day.
I eat the dirt out of them.
That's like the worst thing. Ugh. Anyhow.
But that was a good point to bring up because some of the stuff we talk about, we've noticed either people in the industry are doing or we've noticed it's happening. There is like something right here. What is that? I don't know. That was weird.
There is nothing there.
It was on the screen and I'm like, what is that? I'm giving up. But you may have to cut that part.
There's nothing. This is not getting cut out.
This is keeping it in.
Carrie seeing a whole ass ghost is not getting cut out of this.
Because
listen, I might even add Casper to like the frame if I can figure that out.
And just be like,
to really
that's, what
throw, that's what you saw.
That's a shot.
It was the ghost of
Peepop. I saw the future of him editing
the ghost,
a ghost in.
The ghost of Peepop's past.
Oh God, he's here. okay. So yes, this is not you. If
no.
it sounds like you, it's not. And it wouldn't be a pet peeve if only one person did it, right?
Correct.
So it's like
correct.
A thing. Like there are these things that we're going to talk about are going to be all over the place. Multiple people do them. And they usually don't do them out of malice. Did I say that word right?
Malice.
They don't do it maliciously. They are just going about their business. They've always done it one way, or they've never thought about it from this point of view. And we notice it because we deal with so many versions of this industry.
Yep.
That we're like, okay, it would be better if that didn't happen. But take it all with a grain of salt. Do you, boo.
Do you, boo-boo.
Do you, boo-boo.
Do you, boo-boo, but don't be blind to how other people may perceive
right.
you doing you.
If you're That's, wondering what's going on, you may want to
yeah.
take heed. But you go first. What you got?
Take heed. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, oh, boy, where do I even start?
I can go first if you're ready to decide.
Let's start with, you know what, I'll start with the social media path since this is what I live and breathe, right? Pet peeves of mine. When it comes to social media, I can't do that. I can't do that. That. Anyhow, it's horrible.
Can't.
So what I would say is social media, right? I can't stand when someone tells me, and I know I talked about this in the past. One of the ones that really irritates me is I have no life. I am no fun. I have nothing to show to anyone,
Ooh,
right?
That's a good one.
That is completely false, inaccurate, and incorrect, which is all the same things, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's
for emphasis.
I'm emphasizing.
Mm-hmm.
All caps, italicized, and underlined in bold.
In bold.
But no, you have something to offer to people, right? So I can't stand when people put themselves in their own category of boring.
Yeah.
When you know them personally and you know they're anything but boring, it's mm-hmm. like, come on, like you really got to think outside the box and stop letting other people's thoughts of you take over your potential of what you could be, you know? And too often I see people do that and they're just like, well, I'm not doing posts because, you know, I don't really have nothing going on. I'm like, you just went on a vacation. I just saw you at a concert. I just saw you doing this with your dog or whatever. Everybody has something to offer to someone that they could relate to.
Or do you just made your own bread? Like, some people are like,
oh my God,
I'm getting into bread making. I'm like, that's a thing now. You need to put that on your stories because yeah. you will relate to so many people.
Too many people are posting like this kind of bread. If you're making real bread, post that bread. Because, like, people will relate to those little quirky, weird things. I'm going to drink some of this before I spill it because I'm talking with my hands.
And it's like, blah, blah,
blah. Mm-hmm. But that's one I'll start with, you know, is just the people who down themselves and put themselves in a box. Like, you're your only, you know, negative cheerleader. Like, cheer yourself on. Stop doing that thing that keeps you from doing the things.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, just do the damn thing. Just start doing it. You know? Again, you'll hear us say this all the time. Like, content is better than just no content. Someone's, you know, video is going to outperform no one's video. Like, it's, you got to do something.
That was nice.
I did.
I like it.
You know, but that's going to be pet peeve one. And there's a lot more I have on social media stuff. But I'll let you take up the next one, see what we can build off of. I want to ping pong this back and forth. So hopefully this doesn't go longer than 45 minutes, but it's likelihood it could.
Lord help us.
If it does, you know, stay tuned. We'll keep it fun.
Part two.
Part five.
Part 17. So my first one is when people are, because this is just so opposite of what I am, and this just may be me, but when people are so straightforwardly salesy.
Yes, I know exactly what
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, they have no interest in the relationship, no interest in finding out about someone or what their true needs are. All they care about is a number, a sale, a quantification of some kind. And you can just feel it the moment you talk to them. Like, or you
This happened to me yesterday.
Who?
Go, continue. Oh. I'm not going to cut you off.
I'm like, who? I'm going to beat him up. The when you come off, like, you can almost see it in their face. Just like a glazed over look. And
well, they're not even focusing on you.
Yeah.
Their eyes, it's almost like they're focusing so hard on how to tailor their little elevator pitch to you that they're not even, you don't even feel like you exist.
No. And you're like, I don't really want to buy from you.
Hello.
Hello.
Like, I don't even know your name.
Right. Right.
Well, I don't even know where you work.
They just walk up.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yesterday.
Oh, gosh. Like those people in the mall. Like, don't be those people in the mall.
Oh, my God. With the lotion. Like, yes. Here, let me fix your eye holes or something.
Let me try this lotion. And I'm like, okay. So one time.
At band camp.
I was walking down the mall. And this lady who was beautiful. And she was beautiful for a reason. Because.
Walking down the mall.
Get it. So she's like, come try this lotion. And I tried it and I was like, oh, that's nice. And she's like, come here, I'll give you some more things. And I'm like, but you're so pretty. Okay, I'll go with you. Okay. And then I follow her in there and I knew it was going to happen. Walked out of that SOB $1,200 later with like 17 facials booked and like this skincare line that probably should have cost $5 and it definitely did not cost $5.
From Temu.
So they... Don't be that person because I regret that day and I will avoid people in the mall or like anywhere that look like they're coming at me with like a free thing.
Yeah, right. Me too.
I will run.
I will pick up my phone and pretend I'm on a call.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What?
Every time. Yes. I'm like, what?
Grandma's in the hospital?
Or
my brother.
Even worse, depending on the environment where I go, I am very guilty and I know all of y'all are guilty of this too. If you're not, you should try it. I will put my headphones in, leave them bitches on transparency mode, and listen to nothing.
And nothing.
I will listen to people around me.
Just not listen to you.
But I put them in so they think I'm listening to something, and they don't bother me.
So.
It's cheating. Cheat codes.
Don't be the person in your industry that is using this what's it called?
It's like
bait and switch?
Yeah, it's like bait and switch, but it's like the car salesman, like. When you pull into a parking lot, and they're all like, ooh. Like, you're not even out of your car yet, and they're at your window. La, 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 la. That's what it feels like when you do what she's describing. Don't it's it. Very similar. It's a very similar vibe.
Do you know anybody who's like a think, buy, sell, or rent?
Right. I feel like you want to be more of a, you know what, let's keep it automotive theme. You want to be more of a CarMax, in my opinion. And what I mean by that is if anybody's ever been to CarMax, they greet you when you walk in, let you know that they're there to help you, and then you're on your own. You walk around and do whatever you want. Right?
And they'll come check in on you.
They'll check in on you every once in a while. You know who to come back to if you have any questions, you know, but they let you go out and experience their lot and figure out what cars interest you or what your vibe is without being, all, you know, breathing down your shoulder Do people breathe down shoulders? They breathe down something. Breathing down your back? I mean, that sounds even more weird.
Neck. I think it's neck. Here we go. One of those body parts, someone's breathing down.
Someone's breathing down something that you have. But yeah, I mean, it's don't be salesy. So that brings me to yesterday, right? So we were at a big event yesterday. I won't name names or anything like that. Big event in the morning, a lot of big names, such a great time. Learned a lot from them. They were awesome. Our people. You know, but naturally at these events, there's always insurance companies and other third party vendors. And, you know, they're walking around doing their rounds and speaking and talking and trying to get business, which is fine. It's what we're here for. It's what the events are for. I'm all about the networking and marketing, right? But again, the way you do it is huge. So this particular person was on the inspection side of life and, you know, basically walked up to me and immediately was like, almost like they knew my name, right? And it was almost, I don't know how else to put it, but don't take this out of perspective, but it's like, you know, when a celebrity's name is dropped and then you feel like you have to go see this celebrity, that's kind of how she approached me, as if, oh, everybody's saying your name, so I have to talk to you. And she literally came up to me and said that. She goes, everybody's been saying Melvin, 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 so I have to come talk to you, and I want to let you know that I am an inspector, and da-da-da-da-da, and just immediately went through the spiel. Didn't really know much about this person. Very disconnected with their eye contact. It was very much that you could see them thinking through their head about the next word that they were going to use. Asked me at one point, you know, do I have any relationships with inspection groups? And I said, yeah, I have a very solid relationship with an inspection group, you know, and I let them know who that inspection group was. And the response was, oh, I know who they are. And we're way better than them. That's why so-and-so broker uses us, because we're so much better than them. And I know that we are. And it became this bashing session for this other group. And I immediately was so turned off by it. Okay. I will never, ever use their service. And if she's listening to this, God forbid, straighten it up. Shit does not work. I was disgusted, you know, almost. I left that conversation with my fake smile, and it was just disgusting, you know, because I was like, how dare you just come in and start bashing someone? You don't know my relationship with this group or this person.
You just turned me off.
So bad with that. And you got to remember, too, some people take things for surface level and they're like, oh, that was a weird experience. Some people like myself, we dig deeper. Mm-hmm. How the hell is she going to treat other people? Mm-hmm. You know, I would never want someone with that mindset, that mentality, and that attitude dealing with my customers ever. Mm-mm. You know, so keep that in mind. We always say it a lot, you know, the less you sell, the more you sell.
Right, right.
I think the same is in your initial conversations. Get to know the person a little bit better. You know, maybe you position it differently and you're not so much selling yourself, but you're asking, why are they using the other? Hey, are you using another company? Yeah, I am. Oh, cool. What's the reason you like them the most? What's the reason you choose them over someone else? And let them explain to you, well, you know, they have really good service, or hey, they're really good at this particular thing, you know? And maybe you switch the position up and understanding, okay, this person has a built relationship with someone. It's going to be very hard to overcome that relationship, right? But if you position your words properly, you know, well, hey, it sounds like you have a really good thing going with them. You know, if anything ever goes south, or if, you know, if you need any other help or something, or maybe it's something they can't do, give us a call. We would love to try to help, you know, fix that and fill the gap, whatever it may be. Let the relationship build that way. Because if someone has an established relationship that they're obviously through conversation very comfortable and happy with, you're probably not going to sway them by telling them everybody else is shittier than you.
They're not going to go, oh,
but if you say,
right,
hey, you know what? We're here for a second opinion. Or if they're ever too busy and you can't get a thing on the schedule, like, we can get someone for you within 24 hours. Whatever it may be, hone in on whatever they don't say, or hone in on whatever they do say, and just build off of that instead of just trying to pitch yourself and bash other people. That's
so, like,
my
realtors,
soapbox on that.
When someone says, oh, I'm using so-and-so realtor, I can't tell you how many times someone's using so-and-so realtor and they end up hating the experience. And then they're like, I don't want to work with that person ever again. I know I turned you down the first time, but can you come help me list my house? Or can my son buy with you? Because we're done with this, buying this house, but we don't want him to have to go through what we went through or whatever.
Right.
Be secure in that backup position. Just like a backup offer in real estate. How many times have I secured a backup offer just by being the backup offer with a great relationship with the listing agent? It happens.
It happens.
So be secure in that position and just know that you're there for them. Don't bash. Yeah. Don't be salesy. Get to know the person. Just like all the things you just said. So, yes.
There's whole mortgage groups that I've followed that build their business off of second opinions.
Oh, yeah.
They position themselves as the second opinion group. You know, like, hey, great, love you, have a loan estimate. You know, send it to us for a second opinion. And they break it down and explain, oh, this is either really good or, hey, here's why it might be a better fit to just jump ship over to us. You know, but again, if someone's already set in the relationship, you're not going to sway them with a conversation being rude about someone else. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to happen.
I think rudeness is slowly creeping out of just every industry, business.
It is.
Because people are so sick of it. They're sick of being treated rudely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this wasn't on my list of don't be rude, but like, it kind of fits in. Don't be rude.
Don't
like,
be rude.
Just don't be rude.
Don't be rude. And a lot of that, I know you have this written down too, so I want to bring this up, you know, on the topic of like, don't be rude. Sometimes being rude is just simply assuming they know or don't know something. That's a huge part of I think, that world. You know, in our industry, in many industries, I'm not going to focus on real estate right here, but in many industries, people assume people know more than they do. Yeah. Or they assume they know less than they do. Don't assume, you know, don't sit there and put this lens on it of like, oh, they should know how this process goes. What if they don't? Like, right. It's your job to teach them and educate them, you know? And I had a nice conversation here in the parking lot today, you know, with a friend of mine from coaching. And, you know, it's huge to just take the time to invest in yourself, figure out what works for you, figure out how you want to position things. And, you know, don't assume everybody knows that you're, you know, you have a team that works behind you or backs you. You know, this particular conversation was awesome because it was very much, you know, hey, I, you know, I want to transition from two Instagram accounts into one. I don't really know how to position that. But also, you know, I have, you know, I'm licensed now as a real estate agent in two different states, basically on state lines, bordering two state lines. How do I position that, you know, hey, I'm available over here now without the people in the other state thinking that I've jumped ship and left them behind or that I don't have time? You know, and also, you know, how do I also position that, hey, I can't make it to every listing or everything. I'm going to send somebody on my behalf. And, well, you know, how is that going to be taken? And, you know, to that, I basically said, explain the process. You know, I've never had a situation where I've explained, hey, you know what? I have a team that works behind me. I have a processor and underwriter. Here's the situation with my loan. Once I do what I need to do, I pass it off to my processor. She's probably going to be the main point of contact for the majority of the time. Because at that point, you know, she's in the file more, you know, frequently than I am. She's working directly with the underwriter to get all the things cleared and conditions. And, you know, the honest, you know, response that I give people is you can reach out to me. I am still available. I don't want you to ever think I am not part of your transaction. But at certain points in time, I may not be the best point of contact only because it surely has swapped hands to someone else who's in it more frequently. I can get the answer for you, but then, you know, you're playing a game of telephone. Then I have to make sure that I relay this answer back to you properly, where I would prefer you hear it right from the horse's mouth. Like, hey, the processor is going to reach out and explain to you what we need for the next step to get to this thing, right? I think the issue becomes people assume everybody understands the process and they don't explain what's about to happen. No. And then they're like, why the hell is this other person reaching out to me? Where did my lender go? Where is my realtor? Why is there someone else showing my home that's not my realtor? Explain the process and explain to them that you have people that you trust that are doing these interactions. It's not just some third party you hired off of Fiverr or Craigslist. You know, it's someone that you've vested, that you work with, that you trust. Typically, that should be living and breathing the same core values. You know, but again, not explaining is usually where things go south, is people just assume that the client knows what's about to happen. The client knows that you're going to send somebody else to do this or that, or the client knows. No, you have to make it explicitly aware. Make them explicitly aware of how you work and why. I think the why behind everything that we do, whether it's in business or not, is huge.
No, it's huge.
Explain the why.
The why and the tone.
And the tone.
Because you can explain something in a, like, aggravated, why am I spending time telling you how this goes? Why I have other stuff to do tone. Right. And it's not, they literally is not going to absorb. They are just going to be offended by your tone.
Yep.
And you're rushing them and it's going to set a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Slow down. When you are working with home buyers and sellers, and you're an agent or a loan officer or a title person or whatever you are, And you do this every day.
Yeah.
You live and breathe this. You know it like the back of your hand. Those buyers and sellers do not. And you have to spend the time setting expectation management and say, okay, here's the process. Here's what's going to happen. At this point, we'll do this. I'll hand it off here. But it's in a friendly, warm, welcoming, like I know, and not babying. Not like, okay, let me break it down into like kindergarten and crayons, but like, let me take pause my life for a minute. And just slow down. Breathe.
Slow down, breathe, yeah.
Explain, set the expectation so they know what's going to happen. I have it's called what the sellers need to know list. And I can give it to you if you're an agent. All you need to do is send me a message and ask for it. But it will, you give it to them at the end of the listing appointment when they have signed, yes, I'd like to list with you. Here's a breakdown of what's going to happen next. And it literally is line for line, what's going to happen in the time that it's going to happen, what has to happen first before X can happen, all of those things. And they can read it. You can go over it with them if you want. But they have it so that they can refer back to it. It just clears up all that messiness. Slow down.
Clears up all the messiness. And listen, and if this is something you do, and this is just me thinking outside the box, right? If this is something you find yourself like explaining all the time, right? Maybe it's the title process. Maybe it's the mortgage process. Maybe it's the real estate process. Take some time to make a video about it.
There you go.
Do a little video. You know, even if you post this on your Instagram as a reel, right? And then you share the link to that reel anytime anybody has a question or you get a new buyer. Mm-hmm. Create your own verbal visual guide of like, all right, here's what you get when you work with me. I don't think people are doing that enough. I think they're just assuming, and we know what happens when you assume. jumping on the next one I wanted to bring up is stay in your lane. Ooh. This is one that really has been heavy on my heart lately. Stay in your freaking lane, man. If you don't do insurance, if you don't do inspections, if you don't do mortgages, don't do videos explaining people how the process goes unless you really know it that well. It's one thing to have one of those industry experts in the video with you explaining how it goes, you know, but what I'm seeing, I just put it out there, what I'm seeing with a lot of Instagram, social videos, reels, all that, right, is I just saw one like last week, a realtor saying, you know, basically you can get a loan with this percent down and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, complete inaccurate information. Not even remotely possible to do what they were talking about. This is happening a lot. People are jumping out of their lane. Never did mortgages in their life, but they read something online and now they're an industry expert. Stay in your lane. And when you are making these videos, when you are doing these things, right, it's okay to touch on them. But my thing is stay very general. What's going to happen is a lot of people are going to be giving out more information than possibly needed, right? And then that allows the consumer the ability to disqualify themselves before you even hear from them. You know, example, let's leave it in the loan industry, right? If I was to do a video about, let's say it's the Hometown Heroes program, it's coming back and it's got, you know, another $35,000 you can get towards closing cost, right? I'm going to probably leave it just that general. Hey, Hometown Heroes is here. It's open up to everyone. It's no longer just for heroes. And it's going to offer 5% up to $35,000 towards a purchase of a home. That's all I want them to know. Because what's going to happen is people are going so in-depth with their videos. Well, you have to have a 640 score, and then you have to make this much money or less, and then you have to do this, and then you have to do that. What's going to happen there is they're going to listen to your video, watch your video, read your reel, whatever you put all this extra data on, right? And they're going to go, oh, that's not me. I don't have that credit score. Or, oh, that's not me. I make too much money. Or that... They're going to disqualify themselves. You're never going to hear from them. And that's stupid.
The relationship is gone.
It's gone. You know, whereas if you left it general enough, they're going to reach out to you about that said loan program or said home or said whatever, you know, neighborhood or whatever the case may be. And then you can guide them through that. Like, hey, you know what? I have a licensed lender that can speak to you about that. And you know what I'll do is I'll say, you know what? I do see that you're actually not qualified for that particular loan program because of X, Y, and Z. But there's these three other ones that you might actually potentially qualify for. So it's like a soft no, you know what I mean? But if you gave them so much information that they didn't even reach out to you, you would have never been able to have that conversation to tell them what else was available for them. And it's happening in every industry I could possibly imagine.
That's a good point.
It's too much. Keep it general. Keep it, you know, the information they want to know. Keep it the lively, bubbly, fun stuff that they want to hear. and then let them reach out, build a relationship, figure out their exact situation, and then see what else you can fit them into if that particular thing didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you wouldn't even hear from them. So stop doing the most.
Your social media nets need to be cast wide.
Wide.
And then once someone comes into the net, you put them into the correct bucket.
Yeah.
And then do whatever you need to do with them as a sidebar. But that initial casting of your net, especially on social media, needs to be extremely wide. Because even if you can't help that person based off of whatever, if you are able to help them get into a house or help them, whatever it is, refi, whatever it is, even if it's not with you.
Yeah.
You should do that.
You should do that.
You should do that for them. That should be something that is well within like your ability to say, you know what, I can't help you.
Yeah.
But here's a person that I know can, one, fix your credit. Mm-hmm. I've got a great credit restoration person. Let's go talk with him. Let's get you fixed up. When we're ready, we'll bring you back. They may have never heard about that. So be that source, you know, of information, of connection, of, hey, team player-ness. Yeah.
Team player-ness?
It's a word.
Player-ness?
But also, like, vote for me. Vote for me.
Yeah, there's a lot. What's your next one? I have so many.
Oh. Okay, so this one is...
Speed round. No, I'm just kidding.
Speed round, go. Is a personal thing with me. just because I feel like I am, and I feel like people tell me I am, a very generous and giving person. So when I run into someone who is not a generous person and comes from a place of mental scarcity where they're just so afraid of losing that next deal, or they're so afraid of not being able to, you know, this way. And it's
tunnel vision.
Yeah. And they're not willing to like give up time or resources or whatever to help someone out. I base my whole operation off of that. So when I... Yep. come across someone like that, I'm just like, I literally cannot work with you because we do not have the same core values. Core values was mentioned earlier by you, but we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I can tell right away if I'm asking for help and I know it's in your well within reason for you to give me a little bit of help in giving me a name or helping me out in this, and you won't, knowing full well that I would go to the ends of the earth to help you.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah,
I will walk away.
I would too. Because it just shows the character of somebody. You know what I mean? I think, again, it goes back to like the brewery. That's why we like the breweries, because they're very helpful with other people, other breweries, other brewers. You know, it's not a very like mine environment. Mm-hmm. And what's sad is I grew up, you know, I grew up in real estate. It's all I knew my whole life. And that's how it was portrayed to me, mm-hmm. you know, was that it was very cutthroat and everybody's against everybody and everybody's competition. And I'm like, yes and no, like they're competition, but you got to learn from everybody's got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you could be that stepping stone for someone else to start. It's not like, I mean, they're not directly going after your business at this point for the most part, you know? And if you do run into those kind of people, you don't need them in your life, you know? But no, yeah. it's a really good point. Really, really good point. I like that one.
What you got?
Oh, my next one. I'll skip from social media for a little bit and something else and go back to it. So, okay, let me check that one off. Enable sorting. Let's do this. So I already did that one. I'm ready. No, I already did that one. Okay, so here's one that's recently been on the dome quite a bit. And, you know, I've seen it in multiple different brokerages over the course of several years. It's when you are, and this is kind of more for the brokerage side, I think, for like leaders in the industries, regardless of what that industry is. Again, this is a very broad idea. Putting someone in a position of power or training that doesn't have anything to show for themselves. That part irritates the hell out of me.
Did you post about that the other day?
Probably did. It really drives me up a wall. You know, and I grew up with three sisters, you know, so my first thought goes to, you know, it's when cheerleading, right? You know, cheerleading. I have seen coaches that are pushing 450, 500 pounds.
Stop it.
And they're screaming at these girls to do this or do that. I'm like, that, she couldn't even walk up a flight of stairs if she had to. It irritates me. You know, it's the same concept. You know, if you have someone completely unfit trying to be your personal trainer, I mean, what weight is that going to hold? Right. You're telling me how to eat healthy. You're telling me how to do this and how to do that. You don't even live the life yourself. What I'm getting at there is people who put people in positions of power or positions of training who may have maybe in the past have had some good sales. Maybe in the past they were very wealthy and very, you know, good at what they're doing and had a lot of business, right? But if someone hasn't sold a home in like a year and a half, 2 years, why the hell would you want them teaching your people on how to sell homes?
Right.
And that's the way my brain goes. And you can argue it all day. Well, you know, they used to be this or they used to be that, or they really were really good at one point, or they're really good at talking to people, or they're really good at doing this. That's great. But understand the impact it's going to have on your agents or your people when they put two and two together that the people you have teaching them don't have anything to show for themselves for the last year and a half, 2 years.
Right.
It's going to bring you down. You know what I mean? Like if my social media trainer was not Giselle and it was somebody else that had no following, and like, you know, even if they did have a following and then they no longer do, that would weigh on me. I'd be like, well, what the hell am I doing with this person? Like, why am I wasting my time learning from this person? They don't have anything going on. You know what I mean? Like, that's the mindset. And you may not think that deep into it, but you should, because you got to remember how other people are going to receive it. They're looking up stats. They're looking up things like, mm-hmm. who is this person up here teaching me, and why are they here, right?
The way people look people up.
It's crazy. You know, actually, a friend of mine this morning was messaging me. She's like, she was shocked at how many of her coworkers were looking her up on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And you can see.
Unless you
make that special setting.
So you know who you are. Yeah. People are looking and they're doing all those things. And I just find it so irritating to me that people are willing to put people in positions of power that should not be there.
Right.
You know, or I don't know, someone who recently got fired from one spot and then ends up being a leader at the next spot. It's like, how do you get around that mindset? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me, and it irritates me. Yeah.
Having the right people in the right seats.
Could work.
The seat isn't always, you know, a different seat in the same company. Sometimes it's the same seat in a different company. Bye, Ashley. But yes, what you were saying, and that's why you and I stay with like one foot in our, in our industry while we're building the relationship with other agents, because
I feel it's important.
Yes. We have to stay on top of our game. If I didn't have a buyer every now and again and a seller who was a friend of mine who asked me to, I would completely lose touch with the things that I teach when I go into classes or when I have one-on-ones with agents and I say, I understand your life.
Yeah.
Do I, if I'm not actually keeping one foot in there? So yeah, having people that are in the right positions who know what they're talking about and can back it up, bring the receipts.
I think that's huge because it's going to resonate a lot stronger. You know, when someone's taught by someone who has proof in the pudding of what, hey, I did this and this worked. That's going to hold so much more weight than, hey, when I was doing really well, this was working really well for me.
Like 10 years ago.
You know, like that's great. And things have changed. I want to do business with people who are living, breathing, and in it now, you know? And sometimes do business with people who do business.
But I'm not a t-shirt.
You know, but, you know, in the same kind of mantra and mindset is, you know, it's okay if you stop doing business in those areas and things like that. But as a broker, as a leader, as somebody with an office even, or a team, maybe you're not a broker, but you have a team that you run. Sometimes there's so much more power in getting an outside perspective, someone who's Switzerland that's not even a part of the brokerage at all to teach.
You gotta have a Switzerland.
You have to have a Switzerland in there because, you know, over time it's gonna get old. They're like, well, it's the same people always telling me the same things over and over again, and I don't see them doing anything that they're telling me to do, you know? And it starts to build up this environment and it festers.
Ooh, Uncle Fester?
Not like Uncle Fester, but it festers like a wound, like an uncured wound. You know, so just it's a fine line, you know, and again, not attacking anybody specifically, you know, if you did well in the past and, you know, you're working your way back there, that's perfectly fine. If you're teaching classes, I would just say transparency, you know, like, hey guys, I know a lot of you might not see that I haven't, you know, maybe I haven't had a lot of sales this year, but this is why, because I'm focusing on myself and I'm trying to hone in on my brand you know, I'm trying to rebuild myself. I'm trying to rebrand myself.
Yeah.
State the obvious so they don't have to come up with assumptions as to why you didn't do well or what happened. I'm big on that. I'm big on transparency with everything. I think it's much more powerful to state the obvious, what everybody's thinking, say it out loud so they can't think it anymore.
Say the weird thing.
But no, real talk. I mean, like, people can, it's like, you know, it's like when I wasn't out, let's put it that way. everybody would talk about it. They knew, you know, and, but all these rumors started to spread about who I was with or why I was with them and all these things. I could have just been like, no, this is who I'm with. And boom, rumor stopped. Mm-hmm.
You just take the power back.
Like, hey guys, I know I haven't done anything this year, but here's why. I'm actually rebranding. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. I'm a new version of me is coming. You know, like whatever it may be, state the obvious and let people know.
Yeah. Next. People are watching you more. Do you want to do a rapid fire? Just like not even an explanation. Ooh, let's do a couple. Just to do a couple.
Yeah. I don't even know how far in we are. I don't even know.
I have no idea.
I don't know. What's our time say? I have no idea. We're just going to keep going. How if I know? I didn't even start a timer.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Are we even recording?
53 minutes. No, we've recorded.
Okay.
This might be a little long one. This might go 45 minutes for sure.
This one's going to be super businessy, but when people don't ask for a review. No explanation? When people don't ask for a review. That drives me crazy.
Yeah, you should be asking for your reviews. And for those that want to optimize, this is just a pro tip. Give them some keywords to put in the review.
You can.
So if you're asking for reviews, if you're asking for reviews, I think you should be. I think you need reviews.
Google runs the world. Put your Google reviews out for the whole world to see and make sure you collect as many as you can, like little Pokemons.
Zillow's like a 5-step process. Not many people are going to leave Zillow reviews. So if you want to get them, great. You might have to bribe them to get those. Just throwing that out there. Google's super easy.
Google reviews.
You want Google, they follow you. Make sure your Google is tied to your own personal email in case you do switch brokerages, change your mind, go somewhere else, start something new. It's still owned by you.
Take
you don't lose all that, right? So if you have your Google tied to a business email that you make, you know, lose access to if something went down, switch it up. And then when you're sending out review requests, I would say give them some keywords, you know, because that's how Google optimizes. So if you have 35 reviews and all of them say best realtor in Tampa in them somewhere, somehow, Google's going to pick that up and say, oh, when someone types in best realtor Tampa, you're going to pop up because 35 of your reviews say best realtor Tampa in them.
Right. It's not
so
that
it's not
hard.
Telling them what
literally
to do.
That easy.
You're just giving some little gentle guidelines like, hey, if review is very important to me, it would be really helpful if you could use like these keywords in there somewhere.
Right.
So Google can find me, you know, come up with your own verbiage. But
I would rather have a Google review than a gift any day.
Correct.
Sure.
100%. Outside of that, my next one, let's see. let's skip that one.
Listen,
there's some funny ones. oh, here's one that's like really weird. Vertical business cards. I loathe a vertical business. I hate vertical business cards.
I said verbal. I was like, what's a verbal?
Vertical business cards drive me up a wall. And I think what drives me up a wall even more than vertical business cards is the people that have the vertical business cards. Sorry. You're like Android users. You are so hard up about, and you have so many reasons as to why you, I did it to be different. I did it to stand out. And I'm like, you're looking at the wall of business cards. It stands out, but I don't.
Not in a good way.
Not in a good way. It's like, you know, it's almost like the cringy Instagram video. It stands out, but it's so awkward. It doesn't scan in a lot of the mobile apps that you use to scan business cards and like upload things. It just doesn't format properly. I don't think it looks good personally. It's annoying to put in your wallet. Like, there's so many things about a vertical business card that irritate me. I'm very passionate about this.
I can't believe
it's on my list. I can't stand them. If I see a I am very petty. If I see a vertical business card, I will not use the company.
Love it.
Yep. And the same goes on that same topic. Magnets on the cars. I don't know why those irritate me. Those big old huge magnets on the side of someone's car. It's almost like pick me. I don't know if I've ever done business off of a magnet on a car ever, but I look at it and I laugh every time because it's like, it's almost cringy too because I like really cringy magnets sometimes.
Really cringe, unless it's like funny in like a satirical kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but most of the time on car magnets, people are just going to judge your driving and then send you a message.
Oh my God, I'm glad you brought that up because that was on my head. That's exactly what's going to happen. If you have a car magnet on and you cut me off, one, I will never use your company, period. And two, I might even message you and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
You just cut me off.
You just cut me off, like almost wrecked. You know what I mean? Like, that's something to keep in mind. I think these people plaster their shit all over their cars and stuff and don't realize this may be hurting you, especially if you're a shit driver, which love you guys, realtors. I love you all. I really do. But a lot of us are very overly occupied doing like illegal activities in the car with our phones.
I mean, what do you mean?
We're not doing like this or anything, but you
know.
Someone's
taking a video while they're driving?
Yeah, I wonder who does that.
How dare they?
You know, but imagine you're taking a video while you're driving, you're swerving all over the road, and your phone number's plastered on the side of it. What the hell is that going to do for your business? Nothing.
No, I don't have one on my
phone. No. She has a Tiffany blue colored American flag for some reason.
Support Tiffany.
Support the
Tiffany.
Support the rich.
Veterans. Oh, God.
Is that what it is? Tiffany's bad.
So it was actually red, white, no, red, green, and blue for
she
all
faded.
The branches.
She
but
faded.
I faded, and I got a new
she
one.
Faded. But no, I mean, that's something to think of. I think a lot of people do things, and they don't think of the long-term effects of what they could be doing, and I think that, with the magnets, is huge, because I don't know. I don't know that I've ever had a positive experience with a magnet car. Put it that way.
So if you ever ask someone's just, opinion, you know, that's our opinion on it.
Yeah.
So this one, I don't know that people can help it.
No, oh,
but
boy.
It still bothers me. Read the room.
Oh, yeah, read the room.
Read the room. Like, if we're in a very professional setting and you over there pass out from 16 tequila shots, not the time.
Not the time.
Place.
Not the place. Nope.
But that's like one. But the other thing is, when you're talking with someone and there is literally a line behind them waiting to also talk with them, don't absorb all. You're stressing them out. You're stressing all those people out behind them that's waiting.
Yeah.
Read the room and say, let me get your contact information. Let me take you to lunch or coffee or whatever, and we can finish this conversation. Hey. Oh, that's an ambulance. Never mind. I thought it was something cool.
Way ambulance.
Wham.
Read the room. I like that. I like that. I do.
Fire. Go.
Well, let's see. Next one. You know what? Let's do this one. Here's another pet peeve of mine, and I'm going to expand it. I wrote down shitty listing photos. specifically shitty listing photos. But on that same topic, shitty photos and videos in general. What I mean by that is there's a profile that I looked at, somewhat local realtors promoting a $5-something million home. It looked like it was recorded on a device that was from probably the early 2000s that maybe had a light up battery and a light up antenna.
Ooh.
Maybe had snake on it. I'm not sure, but that's what it looked like. And if I watch anybody's content and they're promoting luxury, high end, million-dollar homes, and it looks like it was recorded with your kid's, fire tablet, that's not going to go well. You know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, everything you need is right in your hands, right? I'm going to be, again, this is not a bashing session. I have the receipts to prove all the things I like to talk about. I am a huge fan of Android phones. I am a huge fan of the hardware behind them, right? But the reality is the software is not up to speed with a lot of the Android devices. One thing recently I just learned, I don't even know if I told you this, so if you ever run into this with any of your people, Android and Instagram, this is used Instagram, Android only posts in high quality if you're on Wi-Fi. So if you record a beautiful video with your Android, there is no setting like the iPhone that says always upload at highest quality. The option that you get is highest quality while on Wi-Fi. So I am seeing a lot of people with these beautiful S24 Androids with these 8K cameras and stuff. Number one, they don't know that their settings have to be tweaked. So there's thing one, reach out to me if you have any questions. But out of the box, they don't really turn it on to its full potential because it takes up too much space. And you would be pissed off that your phone has no memory. So it's by default degraded, right? Two is if you're posting and you're not on Wi-Fi and you're on Android, you're not going to get the high quality video. It's going to look cheap. It's going to feel cheap. It's going to sound cheap. That's not the vibe you're going for. Shitty listing photos. I think listing photos are huge. There's certain things you should not be doing from your phone. I don't care how good your camera is. I know how good my camera is on my 15 Pro Max. It's beautiful. If I was a realtor, I would not be taking my listing photos with my damn iPhone.
You could tell.
Period. And I understand that some people don't have the money and the funds or whatever, right? But in this business, you have to spend money to make money.
I was like, I'm about to get hate for this, but put it on a credit card and order the $200 mm-hmm. listing photos. Or if you really don't have the money, talk with a partner and be like, hey.
Talk with a partner.
Let me borrow some money for this listing photo. We're going to, it's going to sell. You know, here's the house. I need it to sell. Can you upfront the money? Do it.
Do it. It's going to be worth it because the first impression is often the photos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I would also venture to say on the whole line of shitty photos is don't over edit them to the point where it looks so fake and they walk in like, what the hell?
What the hell?
Know what I mean? Like, I see a lot of this like AI generated furniture and shit and photos, and it irritates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'd rather see an empty room without the AI generated furniture in there that's very crisp and clean, that gives me an idea of what the hell I'm about to go walk into or buy, right, than to see some fake couch that AI put in there or somebody photoshopped into the, it doesn't even vibe, right? I think that's huge. And a lot of people
it's
are
like really good virtual staging. Like, you gotta get the really good package.
You gotta get the really good package, you know, but if you're not at really good package level, do what you can.
Right.
And at least do quality photos of the property. Like she said, if you get a broker to help, get somebody else to help. Maybe you can come up with an agreement where, you know, hey, once this closed, you could take that $200 out of my commission.
Yeah, can I pay you at closing?
Can I pay you at closing? Like, there's things you can do, but I'm a big proponent of, like, talk about it. Whomever you're with, if you're having issues where you're at, if you're having thoughts, second thoughts, you know, you want to work somewhere else, you think you want to work somewhere else, you think you want to do, talk about it. You know, don't just disappear or feel like you can never do it or you're never going to talk about it. You might bring it up and they'd be like, you know what, that's a great idea. We can definitely get professional photos of this property.
People will help
and take care of you at closing. You know,
people will help you. Like, if you're in business with the right people, and you should be, and if you're not, find them.
Or help somebody start up. Maybe, you know, maybe you put something out there on social. You're like, hey, I'm looking for a photographer who's new to trying to get into biz. You know, maybe you find that photographer that's like, hey, man, I really want to do real estate photos, but like, I haven't really dove into that yet. And maybe they'll give you a discounted rate and they could be your guinea pig. You know, I'm at the point right now in my career where I want to be someone's guinea pig for video production and for doing like reels and shorts and things like that. So if someone doesn't afford me the opportunity to like, hey, I'm, you know, still learning a lot of these pieces, but I would love to try to do your content for you or whatever, find that person, look for that person, advertise for that person on social if you need to.
Don't be afraid to ask.
Someone's going to pop in and be like, I'm actually looking to get into this. Like, I would love to do this. I would, you know, I'll do it for $100 or I'll do it for $50 or I'll do it as long as you just tag me and everything. You never know. But just ask, just ask.
Don't be afraid to ask. People get so afraid to ask. So this one, I tend to fall in this bucket because we get so busy. I'll just stay what it is. Thinking that no news means good news. Right? Everyone says, no news is good news, right? Like, I'm not going to call you. Exactly. False. No one's going to call you, and that means everything's on track.
But
don't do that. Have an expectation set up at the front, especially if you're working with like buyer or seller. I will check in with you every Tuesday at 5:00 and we will go over any news that's happened, unless something happens that we immediately need to talk about. But if we're just like, hey, I'll check in with you every, you know, whatever, maybe every 3 days or whatever it is that makes sense for you and your business and for that seller specifically, set it up front. Hey, unless something comes down the pipe, like, hey, we got an offer, or hey, we got to fix this thing because we're getting some bad feedback about it or whatever, I'm not going to call you every day and say, hey, no news today. Or do say that. Like today, I sent an update to an agent. And I was
an update that says there's no update.
Exactly what it said. Just wanted to give you an update that there's no update.
Just want to give you an update. Like, we're moving along and nothing to worry about.
I make sure, and we talk about this with my title processing and closing team. I'm like, I want every file touched. And I don't care if nothing moved in that file. Tell the agents and the buyer or the seller, just wanted to let you know, I checked in with your file, all is well.
Yep.
I'll let you know if we have anything else tomorrow or whatever it is.
Bingo.
But every day, no news is not good news. Like, that's a phrase. Do not put that into your business. What did I say? No news means literally no news, but you still have to say it.
So you still have to say it and maybe take it another level. This is me, social media brain. Send a video. Send a little quick 30-second, hey, I just want to check in real quick, you know, before the weekend comes, and hope you have a wonderful weekend, first of all. But I did want to let you know, file's still moving smooth. There's nothing we need from you just yet. If things change, I'll let you know, but I just want to give you an update. Everything is still, you know, still moving along, and just leave it at that, you
know?
And
they're
going to appreciate it. It's going to be very well received. So I like that idea.
Thanks.
What's my next one?
I don't know.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to social media on this one, then I'm going to jump to something else. Social media world. Stop saying things like happy Tuesday. They might not be watching that shit on Tuesday.
Right.
It irritates me. If I watch a video on Friday and they're like, happy Monday, I just want to let you know. It's not my Monday, it's Friday. Like, it shouldn't be a big deal to a lot of people. But like, again, you have to remember, I don't think people are logically thinking about what they're doing when they're posting. They're just posting shit to post it because they think they need to post things. That's
Slow
not
down.
How this works. Slow the hell down. You don't have to say Happy Tuesday or Happy Monday or, oh, I'm in my car today. And I just, no, just get
care.
To the point.
We
don't care. We can tell you're in a car. We have eyes, you know, for the most part. If you don't, I'm sorry. That's where verbal cues come into play.
Sorry.
For the most part, you know, we know where you're at. On that same topic, we know you're a fucking realtor. We get that. You don't have to brand yourself as a realtor in everything that you do. If your profile is set up correctly, if you're doing the right content, we know who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
So stop doing that. Unless I'm going to knock out a bunch of these right now.
Like, you talk about doing a reintroduction video
every 3 months.
3 months. And just kind of talk about where, hey, I'm doing a 3-month update on who I am and where I'm at in my business. And then you can say, I'm KJ Workman. I'm a realtor in Tampa Bay.
That's when you can do it.
Okay. But every
But you don't
video?
Have to brand every video. You don't have to put your phone number on a flash screen. You don't have to put your phone number at the bottom of it. It should be in your profile.
That's how I introduced us today.
Yeah, listen, it's fine. It happens. Well, this is different than that, though. We're doing a whole ass podcast.
That's true. Because there are new listeners every time. They don't know who we are.
Yeah, it's very different.
Walk the line. Walk
Again,
the fine line.
Read your room. This room is a podcast room. But no, I mean, that drives me absolutely bonkers. The call me. Oh, make sure you call me. Nope, you sold to me. I'm done. I'm not calling you. I don't want to call you anymore because you told me to. I don't do what people tell me to do. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. And if you tell me to call you, you tell me to email you, you tell me you're going to reach out. No, I'm not going to do it because I want to feel like I am comfortable enough with you to want to reach out. I don't want to do it because you said to.
Yeah, can I do a silent reach out? And that's when like things like ManyChat or whatever come into play where you're like, can I do a silent reach out where you had that thing that I want, whatever it is. I can comment the word. Paper and I get the paper that I want.
I think yeah. That's where ManyChat comes into play. If you don't like ManyChat's actually my favorite. But there's also LinkedIn. We're gonna do a whole episode on like Tech Roundup. Tech Roundup episode. Oh, maybe we found like a little country bar or country brewery. We do the Tech Roundup. We'll wear cowboy hats and everything. I'm totally on board with that. Oh, you know what I wrote down? So I was on the Bright Line for the first time, and we were going to Fort Lauderdale to do a cruise ship tour, because we do travel planning on the side, just in case you didn't know.
And guess what? He posted about it, because it's something fun that he does in his life.
Yeah. So we had some fun. We got to tour a cruise ship, and on the way there, this family was sitting next to us. I wrote it down immediately, and I put it in quotations in my little notes here, because what he kept doing, and I count, and I'm petty, again, petty, I counted it. In a, I don't know, 6.5 minute span, this person said, you know what I'm saying? 57 times. No, I don't know what you're saying. That's why you're explaining it to me.
Right.
I cannot stand when people use verbiage like that in our business. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't. That's why I hired a realtor.
Right.
You know, like, oh, you know what I mean? No, I don't know what you mean. Explain it to me. That's the whole reason I'm here.
That's like between friends. Like when you're like, you know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an inside joke thing. You know what I mean?
What
that's an inside joke thing. But you shouldn't be like, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? No. You know what I mean? I don't know. No. I literally am asking you the question. And you know what? Someone brought this up to me yesterday now that this came to my mind.
On the roll.
She'd be listening too, so I know she's going to hear this one. you know, one thing that was irritating to us as well was on that whole topic of like, you know what I'm saying and stuff is like teaching methods, right? I cannot stand the teaching method that is, well, what would you do? Well, hey, I have a question. How do I put this into the MLS? Well, how would you put it in there? Bitch, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
I don't know who you're talking about.
If you're responding to your other colleagues or your clients, I hope you're not responding to your clients this way, but that's a huge pet peeve of mine. If I'm asking you a question on how to do something, I don't need you to respond with, well, how would you do it? That's demeaning, and it makes me feel like I'm stupid.
You're like,
and
I would
the
ask
whole
you.
Point is, yeah, exactly. And the whole, and you're going to get a dumb answer from me because I'm bold enough to do that. You know, but like if someone's asking you a question, they're looking for an answer. They're not looking for you to have them reword their question.
Right.
Like it's stupid. So off my soapbox on that one, but don't do it. It's annoying.
I like that.
It's
like
annoying.
That comment. Please don't say, what would you do?
Please don't say that.
Like that's reserved for your kid.
Right.
When you want them to critically think about
that something. That is a very kid thing to do. Yeah, very. But you don't need your clients or your colleagues to critically think about the question they're trying to figure out the answer to.
You ain't that mama.
Especially in the real estate industry. Usually when we're asking a question, it's because we're pressed for time and something's happening and we need the answer quick. You know, something's going down, closing's getting, you know, something's happening. Some shit's going down, right? So the last thing I need, you're going to irritate the hell out of me by saying, well, what would you do in this situation?
I don't know.
I'm literally in it right now. I have 10 minutes to figure out what to do or else they're going with someone else. You know, like that's right. Like, I don't have time for the games. Stop the games. Quit playing. Cut to the chase.
Quit playing with me.
You know, but that's what I have to say about that.
Uh-huh.
Here's one that we could both talk about. Oh. I think you might be passionate about this.
Because we haven't both talked about on any of these.
Open houses.
Oh.
Being unknowledgeable about the home you're doing open house for.
That's rough.
Drives me freaking bonkers. You know, I'm not saying you have to know what year the freaking range was, you know, built or whatever, right? But if someone asks you a specific question like, hey, what kind of roof is on here? Or hey, what kind of AC unit is this? Or do you know when the AC was replaced? Or hey, do you have an idea of, you know, what the typical electric bill is? Or I don't know, there's some random shit. Ask your seller. I don't think there's an issue. And you're more real estate-y than me. This is just me going off my dome and not doing real estate. If I was in that position, I would ask the seller, hey, can I ask you like a series of questions? I just want to make sure before you open house, in case anybody was to ask me any of these questions, that I have answers for them.
Oh, God.
And then I would also make sure that the seller is, you know, kind of at or around their phone during the hours of the open house in case any questions that don't get answered that I don't have the answers to. You know what? That's a great question. Let me ask the seller real quick. Give me like 2 seconds and I'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's huge. I've been into open houses personally where I've asked general questions and they're like, oh, I don't know. And they're looking at the MLS sheet. I'm like, that's, I don't think I'd ever use you as a realtor because that is, I feel like you should do some, you know, you should do some training. You should do some understanding. It's like Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon. They do research.
On their person
that's coming in.
Right.
You should do the research on the home that you're trying to promote. Even if this isn't your house, you're doing an open house for somebody else, that's perfectly fine. I still think you need to take the time to learn a little bit about what the house is because it's only going to help you and whomever you're helping by having those questions. You're going to sound knowledgeable. You're going to feel knowledgeable. It's just going to give a different vibe than otherwise. I mean, I've done open houses for multi-million dollar listings and I've had agents that are just like, that's a good question. I have no idea. And I'm like,
how?
They're asking about the pool that was put in. Like, I feel like you should know about the pool. Right. It was something as simple as that. Hey, is the pool heated?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question.
That's my first question when I'm like holding an open house. Okay, is that a heated pool, salt water? What we got going on over there?
And if you don't know, if you're one of those that has brain blocks, ask ChatGPT. Like, hey, I need like 100 questions that are out of the box that people would potentially ask at open houses.
Chad.
See what it kicks out and use that as a starting point, as a stepping stone.
Oh, literally print that out, give it to your seller.
Yeah.
Like if you're the listing agent and be like, here's some questions that are commonly asked at an open house or at a thing. Let's have this out for people to look at and take with them. Because guess what? The moment you say it's heated and it's salt water, they've looked at 4 other houses that day. They forgot. So like, hey, I've got this actually printed out for you. It's got all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Be that value person, and they're going to be like, oh, that was easy. And then they can put it in their little notebook, and they can look back at it later. I will say when people are holding open houses for other realtors, a lot of the times they're just like ping-ponging through different people, and they're just like, yep, I'll hold it for you. And then they just sit there and hold it, but they literally don't know anything about it. But take that extra
Just a little bit.
Even if it's just reading the MLS sheet and knowing basic.
Read it and highlight. You know, if you really don't know, highlight it. Like, take the MLS sheet, highlight the key points you think people are going to ask for. That way you're not,
like the HOA
scanning
dudes
through the whole thing. You know what I mean? Oh, that's huge.
Or the
I've had people have no idea that, I don't know what the HOA cost is. Well, that's kind of a big deal because that can make or break a loan.
It right there.
Yeah.
It right there.
So highlight it. Take the time to highlight it. You know, and I think that part is huge. I think it's kind of twofold. I think that kind of goes into the other topic that I wanted to bring up is know your systems. Over the last several years, I've worked with several realtors that have some bomb-ass systems. None of them know how to use any of them, and all of them complain about not knowing how to use them, but none of them will take the time to learn them.
Or people do the opposite, and they take all the time to learn them, but they don't
and then
do
they
any
never
action.
Do anything with them.
Yes.
Use your systems. Figure out your stuff. There's a lot of power in taking a couple hours to learn something. You know, you got to be in the mindset of, okay, I get that this takes time. I hear that all the time from, I don't have time to learn that. I don't have time.
We get
but you have so much more time to just waste trying to figure it out. You could have spent 2 hours learning it. We probably would have saved over the course of your career, hundreds of hours of all the extra shit you had to do because you didn't take the time to learn it, right? It's a mindset. It's a shifting of your mindset. Yes, it takes time. Make the time, learn the damn thing, and watch how much better it's going to help you in the future, whether that's marketing software, whether that's CRM systems, that auto-update, auto-email. CRMs are absolutely huge for me. if you don't have your CRM set up to auto at least say happy birthday, happy transaction, anniversary, like, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, you're wrong. Because it's those little things that kind of get in front of people that kind of spark their interest. I have a realtor that, for whatever reason, I'm on her text list, and every holiday I get a text message from her. It's obviously through like Reach or one of those apps, you know, but still, it's a customized, tailored, like, hey, happy Easter. Hope you and your family are doing great. Just keep in mind if you have anything you need. Right. Very, very, very soft.
Keeps you right here.
Not salesy, but I mean, you see how I can remember her all the time, you know?
She's the
top of mind.
She's the Bed Bath & Beyond coupon.
She is the Bed Bath & Beyond coupon. But yeah, take the time to learn your systems. Take the time to figure out what's going to work for you and what's not. And invest the time. And the flip side of that is, if you're not one that legitimately doesn't have time, then you have to invest the money. There's really no in between. It's you invest the time or you invest the money. You know, whatever your poison is. For some people, it's like, you know what? It's more cost effective to pay someone $1,000 a month to edit my videos than it is for me to sit there and try to figure this shit out. And that's perfectly fine. But you can't be somewhere in between and be pissed off.
Right.
You know, you either have to spend the time or spend the money. No in between, right? Sometimes it's a little combo of both, depending on what your goals are. I like that line. But
it's either time or money.
It's either time or money. Pick your poison. For a lot of people, the money is the issue. So the time is going to be the easiest part.
And that's that nighttime weekend stuff that I don't have a showing today. So don't go to the beach. Don't go to the pool.
Yeah.
Set that time for your beach and your pool time. Go ahead and put that in your calendar.
Correct. Calendar it out.
That should go in first. But if it's a scheduled time for, this is my time for lead gen, and you're done an hour early and you have an extra hour, that is not that, oh, I have an extra hour, I want to go turn on my favorite TV show. No, that's that time where you're like, all right, let me go check out this Opus clip. Let me go check out this Manny chat. Let me go see what this is about. And even if you don't learn all of it in that moment, you won't. But even if you're just like, okay, this is easier than I thought, let me go look back at this later. That's a great progress. Like, that's huge. But then your brain may not except just taking it in small bites, but taking it in small bites like that will get you so much further. So nights and weekends, that's when you do your learning. That's when your time is spent building those back-end systems.
Yeah. Do you have any more? I have a closing one.
I feel like you should do it just because we've been talking for 8 hours.
Yeah, it's been like 9 hours. So so my closing thing is less of a pet peeve, I guess, and more of like a statement. Actually, you know what? Here's one last pet peeve then. Yeah. People who complain. I watch a lot of HGTV, not because I want to, but because my husband has it on the background 24/7.
My emotional support TV show.
Be knowledgeable about how shit works in homes. You're going to run into those people who are like, I can't stand this wall. Cool. Fucking paint it. Paint the wall.
Or take it down.
Yeah.
Learn how to tell if it's load bearing or not.
Sometimes, I mean, I just dealt with this with a client recently too. And it's like, you're complaining about things that are very cheap in the broad scale of like, okay, now you have to look at a whole different price point now because you hate the way the kitchen looks.
Right.
I mean, for like 10 grand, you could probably remodel the whole kitchen, but you want to go spend $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 on a whole different home. Everything else in the house is perfect. But this one piece, or the bathroom was the wrong color, or the flooring was the horrible. Those are things you could change. Now, I would challenge my realtor partners, find yourself a person, find yourself a contractor, find yourself somebody that you can confide in and say, hey man, I just got this listing. I know people aren't going to like the kitchen. Can you give me a little estimate of like what it would cost potentially to refresh this kitchen?
Yep.
Come strong with that. Someone comes through and you're showing a house, like, oh, I hate the kitchen. Well, you know what? I actually got some quotes. You know, with the price adjustment in the home, like, you can probably get this kitchen redone for like probably somewhere around 10 grand.
Yeah.
You know, you can keep it general. Hey, don't quote me on it, but this is what I heard.
Right.
Be knowledgeable about what you can do.
Or straight up have it on the counter.
Yeah.
A quote to redo the bathroom, redo the kitchen.
People are like jumping into whole different price categories or stop it, like not even buying homes altogether because they don't like the way something looks. I'm like, fix the shit.
Fix it. I like that because
Fix it, Felix.
That is wreck it, Ralph.
Don't wreck it, Ralph. Fix it, Felix, okay?
Yeah, don't wreck the deal, Ralph.
Yeah.
I like that point. Definitely have in your back pocket a good GC. They are hard to find, I will say.
Yeah.
Especially one that is reliable and cost effective, but
do the time to find the wrong. If you need help, we've got lists.
We have lists. You know, I just did a bunch of roof quotes for one of my potential buyers because that was a concern of his. So, and I personally reached out and took the time to get some quotes and say, all right, cool. If you do buy this house, here's what it looks like if you do have to replace the roof right. in the future.
People get so like worked up in their head.
They get worked
up. I can never do that. Okay, well, for $5,000, which is, you know, if we're looking at that home over there,
maybe you can get
concessions.
Maybe you can get credits for whatever. You know, think about it. Think outside the box. But I'll end with this, and this is something I heard literally on the way in here on a podcast. Literally. Ooh, almost burped.
Yellowry.
I literally almost burped. Y'all were about to get a whole. That was a whole thing. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Maybe it's a good thing I don't drink beer.
It's a very good thing.
Can't drink.
Okay, so this one I heard on the way in, and we're working on getting Candace out here. Candace, shout out, love you.
Me too.
We're working on getting Candace down here, hopefully in August, around the 21st is what we're shooting for. So I'll keep you in the loop on that. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see me share her stuff. She was talking about on a podcast I listened to today about how the best ideas come to you. Let's say social media. Let's just say content, right? Best content ideas typically come when you're not even planning your content. It's when you sit down to plan your shit, when you get the brain blocks, you don't know what the hell to do. Your best ideas come when you're sleeping, when you're taking a shower, when you're driving somewhere listening to music, you know, when you hear a radio commercial, when you hear an ad. Those are when the best ideas come to light. And KJ and I just recently talked about this too. She has a whiteboard next to her bed, so it's a little extreme, which I understand. I get it fully. Half of my list actually for me today, it came from when I was trying to fall asleep and I couldn't, and my brain just kept clicking. So I wrote them down. And the reason I'm bringing this up is a lot of us think, oh, man, that's crazy. I'm going to remember that tomorrow.
There's no way I'm going to forget.
There's no freaking way.
No, we say that to ourselves. Yeah. There's no way I'm going to forget this.
And we forget it every time. And I know all of us are guilty. So that's just something I want to let you guys know. Like when the ideas come, take a second to write them down. If you don't have a second to write them down, just scream at Siri. Like, hey, Siri, set a reminder for this. Or, hey, Siri, create a note for this. Make a note of this. And make it a habit of going in every week at the end of the week and reorganizing all your thoughts that you just threw to the wall.
Hey, time block that too.
You know what I mean? And if you don't have, you don't want to use Siri for that, great. Program your phone. Like, depending on what phone you have, I could program my side button to be my little voice recorder. Maybe use your voice recorder like old school and just start taking voice notes as you think of things.
A little dictaphone?
Yeah. Whoa. Watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth. Mama's
a what phone? but no, I mean, like, take it down. And if you have a newer phone, it transcribes it for you anyway. You know, so a lot of the times you don't even have to write it.
No, just say it.
But that's what I'll end with is as you guys have ideas and content and things, just write that shit down so you don't forget. Mm-hmm. And then build on it later and stop worrying so much about everybody else and how they're going to perceive you. It's going to happen. You're going to have haters.
It's and the spotlight effect. You think people are paying attention to you, but how much do you really pay attention to everybody else?
Right.
Maybe a couple people that you really like, you're going to stalk and lurk. Maybe.
Right. Maybe.
But like the majority of people, you're like, that's cute. That's cute. That's cute. They probably thought a million years about that thing. And really all they needed to do was just hit the send or hit the post or whatever. Yeah. Save time. Just do it. Just
people have
it.
Been the most harsh, and we talked about this in coaching this week. People have been the most harsh or the people closest to you.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because they just don't understand, right? So they're going to like, oh, you look stupid. Oh, you look like that. I can't believe you're doing that. Oh, you're trying to be an influencer.
Your
you're
biggest supporters will be the people who don't know you.
Yeah, so what I say to that is the people that matter don't mind, and the people that mind don't matter.
Hey, look at you.
So that's what I'll end with. Do
that
your thing,
really,
and don't let anybody... Don't let anybody, what's the word I want to use? Don't let anybody put out your fire.
Put out your fire.
This little light of mine. Were you just about to sing it too?
Yes.
I'm dead. I heard you start. Let it shine.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
So, yeah.
Let your light shine, damn it.
We should just close every episode with that. Let your light shine, damn it.
Damn it. All right. Let it shine.
Thanks for joining us.
Brew good, do good.
Brew good, do good.
Peepaw's out.
Pause.
You do have to pause if you pee. Okay, we're done now. Signing off. Bye.